Chapter 12. Returning to his tower at speed, Kaaba descended by secret ways to his cellar workroom, where a doorway of black granite stood embedded in the wall. As he approached, he spoke an order. Soundless as thought, the spirit residing in the floor spun the door ajar. Kaaba passed through without breaking stride. He spoke another word, and the door shut fast behind him. Blackness enfolded him, incalculable and absolute. The magician stood there for a time, enduring, as an exercise of will, the silence and the solitude and the relentless pressing of the dark. Gradually, soft noises started in the cages. Shuffles, faint mewlings of things shut long in blackness. The anxious stirring of other things that anticipated light and feared its violence. Kaaba luxuriated in the plaintive sounds a while, then stirred himself. He gave a fresh command, and all along the ceiling of the vault, the imps, trapped in their faience globes, made their magic flare. Eerie blue-green radiance filled the chamber, waxing, ebbing, deep and fathomless as the sea. The vault was broad and domed. Its roof, supported at intervals by rough-hewn columns that cut across the blue-green haze like the stalks of giant underwater reeds. Behind his back, the granite door was one block among many on an immense grey wall. Between the columns stood an assortment of marble plinths and tables, chairs, couches, and many instruments of subtle use. It was the heart of Kaaba's domain, an intricate reflection of his mind and inclinations. He threaded his way past the slabs where he conducted his experiments of dissection, past the preservation pits acrid with the taint of natron, past the troughs of sand where the process of mummification could be observed. He skirted between the ranks of bottles, vats, and wooden piping, between the pots of powdered herbs, the trays of insects, the dim, dark cabinets containing the carcasses of frog and cat and other, larger things. He bypassed the ossuary, where the labelled skulls and bones of 100 beasts sat neatly side by side with those of men. Kaaba ignored the calls and supplications from the essence cages in the recesses of the hall. He halted at a large pentacle, made of smooth black onyx and mounted in a raised circle on the floor. Stepping into its centre, he took up the flail that hung loosely at his belt. He cracked it once into the empty air. All sounds from the cages stilled. In the shadows, beyond the columns, on the margins of the blue-green light, a presence made itself known by a deepening of darkness and a clattering of teeth. "Nurgal," Kaaba said. "Is that you?"
"It is I."
"The king insults me. He treats me with disdain, and the other magicians laugh."
"What do I care? This is a cold, dark vault, and its occupants make for dismal company. Release me from my bonds."
"I shall not release you. I wish something for my colleague Reuben." It was he who laughed the loudest.
"What do you wish for him?"
"Marsh fever."
"It shall be done."
"Make it last 4 days, worsening each night. Make him lie awash in his misery, his limbs afire, his body chilled. Make his eyes blind, but let him see visions and horrors during the hours of darkness, so that he screams and writhes and cries out for aid that never comes."
"You wish him to die?"
Kaaba hesitated. The magician Reuben was weak and would not retaliate. But if he died, Solomon would surely take a hand. He shook his head. "No. 4 days. Then he recovers."
"Master, I obey."
Kaaba cracked the flail. With a clattering of teeth, the hauler swept past him and away through a narrow aperture in the roof. Sour air buffeted the margins of the pentacle and set the caged things howling in the dark. The magician stood in silence, tapping the whip slowly against the palm of his hand. At last he spoke a name.
"Amit.
a soft voice at his ear.
Master,
I have lost the favour of the king.
I know, master. I saw. I am sorry.
How shall I regain it?
That is no easy matter. Apprehending these desert bandits would seem to be the first step.
Kaaba gave a cry of rage.
I need to be here. I must be at the court.
The others will seize the chance to speak with Solomon and further undermine me.
You saw their faces on the hill. Harem could scarcely keep from crowing with joy as he watched me squirm.
He took a deep breath and spoke more quietly. Besides, there is my other business to attend to. I must continue to observe the queen.
Do not be distressed about that,
the soft voice said.
Gisari can report to you in the desert as well as anywhere. Besides, you have given too much time to your secondary affairs these last few days, and see where it has gotten you.
The magician ground his teeth.
How was I to know that the preening fool would choose today to inspect his cursed temple? He might have given me some warning. He has the ring. He is not beholden to you or anyone.
Ah, you think I do not know that? Kaaba gripped the flail tightly. His curling fingernails dug deep into the ancient human leather. He bent his head forward to let something stroke the back of his neck.
How I wish. I wish. I know what you wish, dear master, but it is not safe to express it, even here. You have glimpsed the spirit of the ring. You have seen how terrible he is. We must be patient. Have faith in our abilities. We will find a way.
The magician took a deep breath, drew back his shoulders. You are right, sweet Amit. Of course you are. It is just so hard to stand there and watch that vain, indolent.
Let us inspect the cages,
the voice said soothingly.
It will relax you. But, master, before we do, I crave a word. What of Bartimaeus?
Kaaba gave a piercing cry. That vile jinni! If it wasn't for him, we wouldn't be cast out of Jerusalem. A hippopotamus, Amit! A hippopotamus on Temple Mount! He paused, reflecting. And wouldn't you have said, he added slowly, that in face and form it bore a certain resemblance to...
Fortunately for us,
the soft voice said.
I don't think Solomon noticed.
Kaaba nodded grimly. Well, I have whipped Bartimaeus soundly for his sins, but a whipping is not enough. The flail is too good for him.
I quite agree, master. This is the last straw.
He abused Gazeri a week ago. He has caused frequent dissension among the jinn. He deserves a proper punishment now.
The inverted skin, Amit? The Osiris box? Too lenient. Too temporary.
The voice grew urgent.
Master, it beseeched, let me deal with him. I hunger, I thirst. I have not fed for so long. I can rid you of this irritant and satisfy my cravings at the same time.
There was a wet, smacking noise behind the magician's head. Kaaba grunted.
No, I like you hungry. It keeps you alert. Master, please.
Besides, I need all my jinn available and alive while we comb the deserts for these outlaws. Stop your whining, Amit. I will give the matter thought. There will be time enough to deal with Bartimaeus when we return to Jerusalem. The voice was truculent, resentful.
As you will.
Kaaba's posture had previously been tight and hunched, tense at the indignities fate had thrust upon him. Now he jerked upright, his voice newly hard and decisive.
In a moment we shall make ready to depart.
First, however, there is the other matter.
Perhaps we will have positive news at last.
He snapped his fingers, spoke a complex string of syllables. There was a distant chime of bells. The imp globes shivered against the ceiling of the vault, and drapes on some of the larger cages ruffled to and fro. The magician peered out into the darkness.
Gezeri.
With a sharp odour of rotten eggs, a small lilac cloud materialised in the air beside the pentacle. Sitting atop the cloud was the foliate Gezeri, who today appeared as a large green imp with long pointed ears and a pear-shaped nose. He made a series of complex and faintly facetious salutes, which Kaba ignored.
Your report, slave.
The foliate affected an attitude of matchless boredom.
I have been to Sheba, as you requested. I have wandered through its streets unseen, listening to the people. Be certain I let no whisper pass me by, no muttered comment go unheard.
I am sure of it, otherwise you would burn in the dismal flame.
Well, that was my thinking, too.
The foliate scratched its nose. In consequence, I heard a lot of dreary nonsense.
The lives you humans lead, the things that preoccupy your doughy little minds. Are you not aware of how brief your span is, how small your place is in this vast universe, yet still you worry about dowries, tooth rot, and the price of camels?
The magician smiled bleakly.
Spare me the philosophy, Gezeri. I worry about none of these things. Here is my concern. What is Queen Bulkis doing?
Gezeri shrugged his bony shoulders.
In a word, nothing. Nothing out of the ordinary, I mean. Far as I can make out, she's doing her normal round, meditating in the temples, meeting merchants, hearing representations from her people, all the usual sort of queenly claptrap. I've sniffed about behind the scenes, eavesdropped on all and sundry. What have I come up with? Naught. There's no sign of any response at all.
She has 5 days left, Kaba mused. 5 days. You are sure there has been no build-up of troops? No increase in defences?
What troops? What defences?
The foliate gave its tail a derisive twirl.
Sheba's not even got a proper army. Just a bunch of skinny girls who hang about the queen. And the priestesses haven't put so much as a second plane nexus around the palace. An imp could stroll right in.
The magician stroked his chin.
Good. Clearly she intends to make the payment. They all do, in the end.
Yeah, well, that being the case, the foliate said, lounging deep into its cloud,
why don't you dismiss me? I'm fed up with all this summoning, long distance. Ooh, it gives me such headaches as you wouldn't believe, and swellings in the strangest places. Here, take a look at this one. It's getting uncomfortable to sit. You will return to Sheba, slave, Kaba snarled, averting his eyes, and keep watch on what occurs. Be sure to let me know if you notice anything untoward. Meanwhile, I will shortly summon you again, swellings or no.
The foliate scowled.
Must I? Frankly, I prefer the building site.
Our work there is done for the present, Kaba said stiffly. Solomon has ordered us elsewhere.
Oh, got cross with you, has he? Fallen a wee bit out of favour? Tough luck.
Kaba's lips narrowed to nothing.
Mark my words, he said. One day there will be a reckoning. Oh, sure there will, the foliate said. Tell you what, why not make it now? Why not nip up to the king's apartments tonight and pinch the ring while he's asleep?
Gezeri,
why not? You're quick, you're clever. You could kill him before he had a chance to turn the ring. Well, what's stopping you?
It chuckled lazily.
Give it up, Kaba. You're scared like all the rest.
The magician gave a hiss of outrage. He spoke a word and clapped his hands. Gezeri squeaked. The foliate and its cloud imploded and were gone. Kaba stood rigid and furious in the blue-green shadows of his vault, staring into nothing. There would come a time when all those who belittled him regretted their folly most profoundly. There was a whisper in the darkness. Something stroked his neck. Taking a deep breath, Kaba swept the issues from his mind. He He stepped down from his circle and crossed the floor toward the essence cages. Time enough before departing for the desert. For a little relaxation.